recognize that we face an unprecedented crisis here in Minnesota, and we want to try to address that as best we can. From my perspective, I think on April 16th, when the House suspended the rules and declared an urgency to hear my bill and move it forward, it was a proud moment when we unanimously did that, and I want to thank the majority for doing that and moving it forward. I think that we all four caucuses are here, and we want to move forward. My sense, too, is that the landscape has changed since April 16th when we started down this this path, and there is even a greater mood of urgency. The governor has declared the peacetime emergency. There are now more farms and more turkeys that are affected, and we want to act as quickly as we can to move the what the governor feels is necessary to do. I have spoken to the governor's office, and the governor's indicated that he wants a standalone bill to move forward to get things done. So that's what we're here about. And I would like to give the agencies the opportunity to come forward and talk about the need and talk about the provisions that they would like to see in a bill and move forward from that. So I guess whichever one of you would like to start would be fine.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dave Fredrickson. I serve as Commissioner of Ag here in Minnesota. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you all. Thank you, all of you, for your efforts as it relates to high path avian influenza. Your effort to move this through the House floor, Representative Hamilton, and was exceptional, and Representative Bly, and thank you for that. We're obviously very concerned from the department perspective. My colleague to my left, Dr. Hartman, is responsible for animal health, but this has gone much beyond that in that it is impacting a major industry in Minnesota, the turkey production industry, and now morphing into chickens. And so I can't express anymore the urgency that we have in moving these resources out. We have staff in Wilmer right now at the EOC that are spending time there. They spend their evenings there. They are at hotels. They're having meals out there. And so this resource that you have on the table today will go to assist the Department of Agriculture in covering those additional expenses that we have not budgeted for. And I know that the same applies to the Board of Animal Health. We're well in excess of 3 million birds. We have 15 million birds on the ground at any time in Minnesota. And so you can do the math very quickly. Our export markets are suffering. We are one of our major markets is to Mexico. We want to work hard to maintain as much of that as we can. At this point in time, I believe they're allowing a product to come in if they are able to reprocess. That's good news. We don't have any bans in terms of the states, the United States. That's good news. We're still able to move product. I can't emphasize enough how, in fact, it is safe to eat turkey product. And so I'm here to encourage you to resolve this as quickly as you possibly can and move those resources out to the various agencies as expeditiously as you can. With that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions, or maybe you would like to have Commissioner France and Dr. Hartman make some comments, and we can all take some questions. Thank you.
Let's go ahead. Yes.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Bill Hartman. I'm the executive director of the Board of Animal Health and the state veterinarian. And I would just echo what the commissioner says. We have a lot of people. I asked recently how many people at the Board of Animal Health are working on our normal jobs and how many are working on avian influenza. 75% of our staff is working on avian influenza. Meanwhile, programs such as the one that passed a year ago, the dog and cat breeder bill, that program is kind of on hold, and we're trying to free people up to do that because by July 1, we're supposed to have all the dog and cat breeder facilities under inspected and under permit. So we do need these resources. If the Board of Animal Health, if you don't pass this bill, not only will the Board of Animal Health run out of money and have trouble doing the jobs that we're doing now, but it also, we're not authorized right now to spend the federal dollars that have been agreed to. So I would urge you to pass this bill as quickly as you can.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll just briefly add where Dr. Hartman left off. My name is Myron France, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget. One of the things that Dr. Hartman mentioned is the need to have authority to access federal funds, which are becoming available very soon, if not almost immediately. And in order for us to do that, we need to have this bill or any bill passed that provides that authority. As you know, the USDA is spending direct dollars in the actual depopulation, flock indemnification, and other activities directly with the affected producers. Now, this is going on in the local communities, and there are millions of dollars involved in that direct USDA process. In addition, the USDA has entered into agreements with the Board of Animal Health and with the Department of Agriculture, where they are reimbursing some state expenditures on behalf of this effort. So that's why the authorization to spend federal dollars is so important. Secondly, we ask that the appropriation be increased and expanded to include other agencies. We now estimate that for the fiscal year 2015 that for costs at state agencies that is not reimbursed by the USDA, we anticipate today $1.863 million that we need by the end of this fiscal year, June 30, 2015. We estimate $5.48 million for fiscal year 16 for a total of $7.343 million for this biennium and for this fiscal year and the next fiscal year. Those are for activities in the Department of Agriculture, the Board of Animal Health, the Department of Health, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Public Safety, and the National Guard, who was recently deployed for water resources. And I have to stress this is an estimate. It's changing as we go through this. In fact, we just found out today that the approximate cost for the National Guard deployment for 3 or 4 days was about $54,000. So one of the things, in addition to the authorization for federal money, the appropriation for state monies, we also need some flexibility in the authority to access these funds and move them as we see fit to have flexibility to respond to the changing nature of this incident. So those are items that we're working on in terms of draft language that we would be able to provide later on. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And I see that Commissioner Landwehr has come in, too. Would you like to come forward and fill us in on your perspective as well?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having me here. For the record, my name is Tom Landwehr. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. The department, as you may know, has a role in this effort as well. We are currently sampling wild birds to detect if there is a high path avian influenza in any wild birds. We have a plan to ultimately collect samples from 1,500 birds or 1,500 sites in high path areas and another 1,500 sites scattered across Minnesota to determine if there's what the prevalence is of high path avian influenza in the wild population. To date, we have had 900 of those samples analyzed, and we have zero high path finds in those 900 samples. I believe we had seven that were low path, turned in low path avian influenza, but nothing yet high path avian influenza. We've still got a backlog of the other samples. We're waiting to get those done. We're also collecting dead birds and hunter killed turkeys. to sample those as well to find out if there's anything in those birds. We have not gotten any of those samples back. To date, Mr. Chairman, members, we have spent approximately $48,000 on salary, fleet, and supplies in our Division of Fish and Wildlife, and another $1,200 in other divisions coordinating with the SEOC for a total expense of about $49,200. We anticipate, if we continue at the rate we're going for the balance of the fiscal year, our additional expenses would be about $310,000. About $298,000 of that would be salary, fleet, and supplies, again, for biologists, and $12,000 would be coordination through the SEOC. If we should continue into FY16, we're predicting our need would be about $772,000, with $710,000 of that being for staff time and fleet and supplies to continue to collect samples, and $62,000 for coordination with the SEOC. And we're hoping, obviously, that we don't need that amount, but we're trying to help determine what the root is here, and I think, as you've probably heard from others, we're mystified why we're not finding anything.
Thank you. Do any members have questions for any of the testifiers? Person Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's not a question. It's a simple thank you to everybody involved. I know it was a lot of work went into everybody pulling together. To the governor's office, lieutenant governor, all the commissioners. Mr. Cruz, you've accepted many of my texts and day and night. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Hartman, everything that's going on, all the people, please take back our thank yous there as well. University of Minnesota, it was interesting. The Department of Health, Mr. Mark Knisley, put one call in, and within the hour we had two members from the Department of Health sitting in the office in which I occupy. Everybody is taking this very, very seriously, so I greatly, greatly appreciate it, and I believe I could speak for my colleagues as well. Also, Mr. Chairman, I will take I want to say I apologize in the event as far as the on again, off again, this as fluid as this has been. We do not have it has changed the dollar amounts and whatnot as well. As you said, there has not been I guess time for the speaker, the leader in the House and leader of the Senate to come together on the dollar amount increases as far as a conference committee. However, in Ways and Means this morning, as a matter of fact, we increased the budget to fully reflect this. And I just want to let everybody know we do have two vehicles, if you will, in the Rules Committee now. And so if it's important to the governor for a standalone, that can be addressed. If it's acceptable in the omnibus finance bill, that can be addressed. So we do have the vehicles. Everybody is committed. I can honestly say that. Everybody is committed. Our leadership recognizes the importance as well. I think if we would address our differences on this, I believe we could come to terms very, very quickly and move these provisions out. So once again, thank you so much for everybody that's involved. Thank
you. Did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. Thank you for that. I know the other agencies are just going in overdrive to deal with this, and We certainly thank our staff because they're dropping a lot of other activities they should be working on to pick this up. But it, as you mentioned, Representative, it is extraordinary. Our Senator, it is extraordinarily important. We really need to be on it. I don't know if it was mentioned earlier, but there was a report today of two birds in Kentucky. I believe it was a chicken and a duck that turned up with high path avian influenza. So it could be spreading. I mentioned a press conference yesterday that the majority of the waterfowl migration is over. Probably in the next week to 10 days, virtually everything that is flying through will fly through. But, of course, we have a large resident population of both ducks and geese. And so if in fact, waterfowl are the vector, we still have things to deal with.
Thank you. Senator Jall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hamilton, for your comments. And I do hope that we can, and all the House members and my colleagues, I hope that we can wrap this up very quickly. I know timing is everything on these things, and I guess I do have a question for Mr. Franz. I know that you've broken down the state costs and the federal costs. I know there's still some question about to be decided the direct spending from the USDA. Can you give me a kind of a sense of when we might know those numbers? My other question might be, are those pretty clear silos in terms of what the state can cover and what the federal government can cover, or does the federal government, can they overlap at all in some of the state costs?
Mr. Chair, Senator, one of the things we've tried to be very careful about is to make sure that if the USDA is willing to enter into an agreement like they have with the Department of Agriculture and the Board of Animal Health and reimburse those expenses, we try to make really very clear that those, that we capture those expenses in those agencies that are directly related to the reimbursable cost. For example, in the Department of Agriculture, the federal funds under the cooperative agreement will cover the cost of some regular staff time associated with this event, some in-state travel costs for state employees funded with federal funds, and some IT-related costs. So we're capturing those costs. The expenditures that I described for in terms of the appropriation, state appropriation, or for those activities that clearly fall outside of USDA reimbursement. In terms of the level of spending by the USDA, right now, so far, the USDA has entered into cooperative agreements that would reimburse the Department of Agriculture and the Board of Animal Health about $771,000 this biennium and about $1.257 million in the next biennium for a little over $2 million. Those are what we anticipate would be federally reimbursable dollars to the Department of Agriculture and to the Board of Animal Health. Now, in addition to that, as I mentioned earlier, the amount of USDA direct spending that's going on in terms of the depopulation, the flock indemnification, the carcass disposal, and the testing of flocks in the control zones, these are costs directly borne by the USDA that are expended in the community. We don't know the magnitude. We know it's in the millions of dollars. We don't know the magnitude yet. I mean, clearly, they're in the middle of this incident as well, and they have a lot of people on the ground that are working right now, but we haven't gotten a really hard number about how much they've expended in this state or any other state and how much they expect to spend. We just don't know that yet.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Franz. And I heard, I read this morning that Senator Klobuchar is interested in getting some more congressional funding. Any contact with the senator's office or the Secretary Vilsack on when that might happen or a timeline at all?
Mr. Chair, Senator, Governor Dayton is also in direct communication with Secretary Vilsack. I know that they are working diligently, not only in Minnesota but other states as well, obviously, to try to make sure that the federal government has a coordinated response. I know that clearly that our representatives are doing what they can to make sure that Minnesota is given an opportunity to participate in those costs. I know that one of the things that is going on with the incident commander who is here from the USDA in managing this particular outbreak has never seen a state respond quite so well in terms of the coordination with the state agencies and the USDA. So I'm confident that, you know, based on the governor's direction and the constant communication with Secretary Vilsack, that we'll be doing what we can to maximize the congressional support of this incident.
Last one.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Franz. And I appreciate all the information. The most important sections then to you are obviously the being able to access the federal dollars quickly, and even our current language we need to change because they may the May 8th date might be problematic, and we can Mr. Nauman has provided some possible language of that and, of course, figuring out the dollar amount. And I don't know how we do that. Maybe Senator Scoy can help us with that part. But that you would agree those are pretty essential pieces.
Yes, sir.
President Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First a comment and then just a couple questions I'll actually have for Dr. Hartman. I believe he'll be the one that can answer this question. But I too want to thank everyone that's been involved. I appreciate the House with Representative Bly, Mr. Chair, that we did. We moved very quickly. We kind of set politics aside, and I hope that we can do that again here to get this moving very quickly. So I appreciate that. I live in Candiota County, and that's one of the, I mean, that's by far and away the biggest place hit, and I've seen it on the ground. People that I work with, friends that are being impacted by this, the Princeburg Co-op. I'm from Princeburg. They just recently had a barn that was hit, and what I really appreciate is they had a question. They called me because they didn't know who else to ask, and I went down to Committee Administrator Mark Nisley's office, asked him a question. We made a couple phone calls, and they had an answer with a practical answer to their question within about a half an hour time of when they first made the phone call. So I think everyone is doing a fantastic job, and I appreciate that. The question I believe that I have for Dr. Hartman is I'm not here to rush science, and I know scientists don't want to rush it, but I know that we talk about things like when is the bottom going to hit, what can be the expectations, and I know that may be difficult to ascertain at this time, but I also know that the last time that we had a hearing a week or so ago that we had talked about, there might even be some fall stuff in it. I don't want to create panic in my questions, but if you could just address if you have any inclinations as to what we might be looking at, what the broader scope of things might be, if there's someone that can kind of give us a feel for what may look ahead so that we can adequately continue to work as an entire group.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Miller, what the experts tell me is that this disease could be around for 3 to 5 years. Now, that's an expert opinion. I don't know that we know that for sure, but it's an opinion. As far as the important thing right now is finding out how do we prevent these flocks from getting infected, and we just don't have the answer to that yet. We can react to what we find, and we can control the disease from spreading, but we can't prevent it from getting into the barn in the first place, and that's probably the most important piece of information that we need. Right now, there is a team of epidemiologists from USDA and from the state of Minnesota working on that issue and trying to find out how is this happening, and it may turn out to be multifactorial. There may not be just one way that it's getting into these barns. There may be many. So they're looking at this, and they're doing a case control study. So they're studying farms that have become infected, and then they're studying farms that haven't become infected, and they're trying to see what the differences are so that they can identify these risk factors, which will then help us in preventing the disease rather than just reacting to it.
Okay. Senator Scoy?
Thank you. Dr. Hartman, we've worked on these issues in the past, bovine TB specifically. I put a lot of stock in what you say. So is it important for us to move this corrected language to help you in your battle?
Absolutely. Mr. Chair and Senator Scoey, yes, we have worked together well over the years, and thank you for all your help with bovine TB. And the answer is yes, we need to move this bill as soon as we can so that we have the resources to deal with this issue.
Thank you. Well, members, it appears to me that it's pretty straightforward. It looks like the Senate has got some provisions that are necessary, including the federal funds appropriation. There's an oral amendment that I think we should make. On page 2, line 15, we should strike by May 8th, 2015, and insert before spending federal funds appropriations in this section.
Yep. So, Mr. Chairman?
And I'm not making a motion yet. I'm okay. Having conversation, Representative.
Thank you,
but
sir.
I think we should fix the language on the Senate side, and I would hope that the House would contemplate a motion to take the Senate language to help Dr. Hartman get on his way.
Before I call on you, Mr. Hamill, I neglected to call on Senator Dames before, so if you could just wait.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, in a conversation earlier with Commissioner Fredrickson, we were talking about how well everybody's worked together, and I think that that's been just an excellent the government has worked very well all the way from the producers to the local to the state to the federal, and I think that's really great. I did have a couple questions. They did get answered, so thank you, and thank you, folks, for all you're doing. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator Dames. And Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the Senator. First of all, when it comes to the appropriations, when I was checking with staff, the House language on lines 1.5 through 1.12, that is actually allocated out of fiscal year 2015, and I'm told that we do have those dollars available. And so if when we are ready to entertain motions, I'd like to entertain the motion of adopting the House language that Chairman Bly brought forward from lines 1.5 through 1.12. And then subsequently, I agree with what the Senator said about the federal language. And so my recommendation would be to move the Senate language only on lines 2.9 through 2.21 of the Senate language with the oral amendment. So something to consider.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Franz. There was evidently a reason that 2016 was included in Section 2 on the Senate side twice. I'm wondering if Mr. Mueller or you know what the reason is for including the 2016 as opposed to the 2015. That amendment was made. Mr. Mueller, do you have that information for me?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, no, I did not. No, I think the effect of it is essentially the same, and either we appropriate it in fiscal year 15 or we appropriate it like they did in the Senate and make it available immediately. Maybe Commissioner Franz has an opinion on that, but I think the effect is the same.
So we, Mr. Mueller, so we could adopt the Senate language and the impact on the Board of Animal Health would be the same?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, I believe so, but if MMB has another opinion on these two differences in language, we should maybe hear from them, too.
Go to Commissioner Franz.
Mr. Yeah, Commissioner Franz.
I think one of the effective date in 2.9 and 2.10, I think, provide the authority that we would need, regardless of whether it becomes available in the 2016 fiscal year of 2015, to the extent that we have immediate access to the money upon the enactment of the bill, I think would solve the problem if I'm not correct.
So we, the Senate language would work for you, Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, in that regard.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Commissioner, you know, when we're talking about the 2015 appropriations, there's a reason why we're looking at those dollars as we're navigating through the budget process. So my question to you, Commissioner, is does the House language work for you as well?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Representative Hamilton, but unfortunately the House language doesn't include the necessary language to appropriate the federal funds.
And Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I've sat on a number of conference committees where we've adopted some of the House language and also some of the Senate language. And I think this would be a great way that the House and the Senate can come together, where similar to what we've done on a bipartisan basis in the House when Chairman Bly brought forward the bill, and we supported Chairman Bly's motion unanimously. So again, when it comes, I would move that we would adopt the House language on 1.5 through 1.12.
And Mr. Chair?
Senator Scoy.
And Mr. Chair, I would support that motion as long as we are adopting the balance of the Senate language except for Section 2, which that is the replacement for. So we would take Section 1 and 3 from the Senate and Section 1 of the House language, and we'd be good to go.
And Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, we would have an agreement if we would take the House language from 1.5 through 1.12 and subsequently the Senate language on 2.9 through 2.21, but not Section 1.
Well, I think that we should be contemplating the Senate language in its entirety and not picking so much of it apart there. I am hesitant to leave Section 1 of the Senate language laying out on its own.
And Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When it comes to Section 1, I would refer to everybody to the Constitution under Section 17 of Article 4 about the single subject. No law shall embrace more than one subject, which shall be expressed in its title. And if you want an example, we could go back to the conceal and carry, how that was challenged in years past. This is a multiple language with that Section 1 that does not pertain to the avian influenza need. And I think that we could come to an agreement very, very quickly, Mr. Chairman, if we adopt the House language, again, on Section 1 of the House language, 1.5 through 1.12, and then the Senate language, because I agree with Senator Scoy, when it comes to Section 2.1, the section as it pertains on line 2.9 through 2.21. I think if we would adopt that, and then in addition to the senator's oral amendment, take that up lastly, I think we could come to terms very, very quickly. And, Mr. Chairman, move your bill back out and subsequently get it passed and send it to the governor.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, I'm reading the title of the bill that's in front of me, and it says modifying reporting requirements for the budget reserve recommendations. It clearly would be an order to include that.
Mr. Chairman, I'll ask for roll calls on any of the motions that we have before us, and I think I do have an emotion.
I would prefer that we stay on the discussion level here before we make some motions. Okay. So, Commissioner Franz, could you speak to the relativity of the emergency that we're in and what that might have to do with how things play out?
Mr. Chair and members, one of the concerns that I'd like to raise at this point is that clearly the authorization for the federal funds is important and part of this bill. But the other part is that this bill was drafted several weeks ago when we only had the information regarding the Bureau of the Board of Animal Health and the Department of Agriculture. So Section 1.5 in the House language and Section 2 in the Senate language obviously make those appropriations that we anticipated at that time, but don't include the revised costs, nor do they include costs relative to the Department of Health, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Public Safety, and the National Guard. So I guess my concern is that the bill as drafted with the limited language for just the initial estimate that we had several weeks ago does not address the issue with respect to fiscal year 2015 and the $1.8 million that we're asking for and fiscal year 16 of the $5.4 million.
Okay. With that comment, I have prepared for discussion some language. I understand that I have some difficulty with my side of the body here with the notion that we have to have agreement from the Speaker and from the Majority Leader to move forward if we made those kinds of changes. However, I'm a legislator who've been here for several terms, and I've learned never to say never. So for the purpose of discussion, I'd like to pass these out and have us look at them and see what we can do. So if you would pass those out, please.
And Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, it doesn't matter whether or not we decide here. I can just refer everybody to the joint rules. And it comes down to the Conference Committee under Rule 2.06. And it clearly states right there what we can or cannot do in a conference committee. And I appreciate you handing out that amendment. But in all reality, it goes against the joint rules that we all voted for and agreed upon.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I apologize to the committee members for me being late to the committee. I missed part of the presentation, but the small part that I did hear when I came in was that there were significant additional costs that are going to be borne by a number of these agencies that aren't addressed in this bill. And so what's the plan for the future if we're just doing a part of a fix with this bill. Does anybody, I apologize for missing that. Maybe Mr. Chair or Senator Dahl, you could help enlighten me to what I missed.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to. Just this morning, in Ways and Means, we made the motion, and it did prevail, to fully fund the request that was brought forward. That bill passed out of Ways and Means and headed to Rules, where we continue to work with all the interested parties in order to get the language and get it right. We do have two vehicles sitting in Rules in the House currently, and many people are working on this, doing our due diligence to where we get it right. This is coming before us, and it looks like we're trying to piecemeal things here, which, again, it goes against some of the provisions go against what's written up in the Constitution. Other provisions go against the joint rules in which we agreed upon. And therefore, I believe what we do have is the language before us that we could, if we stick to the language before us, we could come to terms rather quickly. If we do not, I guess puts you in an awkward position, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Commissioner Franz, I was trying to ask you. I guess I was distracted. But in Section 1 of the Senate proposal, is there language there that does address the emergency?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, you're talking about Section 1 of the House language?
Of the Senate language.
I'm sorry, the Senate language. And I'm sorry, your question again is?
Is there anything there that does do something with the emergency that we are now under?
Mr. Chair, just in my review of this, it looks like it's all related to the report on the budget reserve percentage report that's required. That's, as I read it, that's
okay.
What it does.
So it doesn't have anything to do with that. All right. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Senator Scoy, to the House members, have you had conversations with Mr. Marks or any of your fiscal folks about the importance of this provision and why the Senate might have possibly contemplated including it in here, or is that not at all within your thought that you would even contemplate that as a priority or something that would be worthwhile contemplating in order to move this very important project forward?
This is really the first chance I think we've had to talk about that provision. Does fiscal staff have anything that they would advise us on?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Hamilton,
simply if you can help explain how this pertains to avian influenza, the Section 1 of the Senate language.
It doesn't specifically pertain to avian influenza. It pertains to the budget reserve percentage and moving the date to August 31st. It seems like a very appropriate things to be contemplating. This is an important provision for MMB, and it will help them as they manage their budget. This is an early opportunity. We amend bills back and forth all the time to try to move provisions, and it just seems like for such a timely thing for the MMB that the House shouldn't get held up over a very relatively small Senate provision.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Franz, could you tell me what the impact will be if Section 1 is not included in this bill to your agency?
Mr. Chair, Senator, well, then we would continue to provide that report in January that's required under law currently.
And to follow up, Mr. Chair, and is that going to be of a major impact?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator, well, I think one of the things, ongoing, the obviously we have the November forecast and then we have the February forecast, and that's a really difficult, busy time of the year. And so certainly the MMB staff has agreed that this change in date would facilitate, would be a better date for us to do the report in, I forget if it's in August or July, in August than it is in January right now, simply because the people working on this report are so busy in that time period working on the forecast. So from a standpoint of workload, it is better to change the date until in August.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your support of the Senate position, Senator Dames. And to further address the issue, part of the reason for the date change is so that when the budget reporting is done, it takes into account any of the activities that happen during the legislative session. I think it's extremely important that the money that goes into the budget reserve take into account legislative activity, whereas if you leave the date in January, it will not. If you move the date to August, it does. And for such an important thing for our management and budget office, it seems to me that we should be adopting these provisions, and we can all go on with our other activities today, and these folks, Dr. Hartman included, can go take care of his avian flu.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Franz, can you please explain to us how Section 1 of the Senate bill pertains to avian influenza?
Mr. Representative Chair. Hamilton, I think I've already addressed that. It does not.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Mr. Hamilton. Franz, could you please explain to us how Section 1 of the Senate language pertains to avian influenza?
Commissioner Franz.
Mr. Chair, Representative, in my opinion, it does not.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Pull aside and visit a little bit if you want. Take 10 minutes.
We take 10 minutes.
Okay. The Senate caucus would like to take a short break to caucus about that.
Well, my office is right back here.
So, Mr. Chairman, clarification, are we in a 10-minute recess then?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I believe we have an agreement. Representative Hamilton, would you like to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will make the motion with help me out with the appropriate motion. I think we'll move the Senate language from line 2.2, section 2, through line 2.21. I do have an oral amendment, Mr. Chairman, and that would be, and I'll look towards Mr. Sullivan to walk us through this again. However, on lines 2.3, change 2016 to 2015, and on lines 2.6, change 2016 to 2015, and then add the words on lines 2.5, after this is a one-time appropriation, add the words "and available until June 30th, 2016, and do the same on lines 2.8. This is a one-time appropriation. After appropriation, add "and available until June 30th of 2016. That would be my motion, Mr. Chairman. And if we want Mr. Sullivan to reinstate what the motion is.
Would you do that, Mr. Sullivan?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, just to repeat, Representative Hamilton, on the Senate language, line 2.3, delete 2016 and insert 2015. Page 2, line 5 on the Senate language, after the word appropriation, insert "and is available until June 30th, 2016. Corresponding changes in the next paragraph in the Senate language, line 2.6, delete 2016 and insert 2015. Line 2.8, after the word appropriation, insert "and is available until June 30th, 2016. And there's a one other small difference, in the effective date, just the additional Senate language and the appropriations are available immediately. That clause could be eliminated, or if the committee were to leave it in there, it probably wouldn't matter either way.
Okay. Now, do we need to take up that there was another oral amendment I think the Senate was asking for? Do we need to take that up at the same time, or?
Mr. Chairman, I think to keep it clear, if we could vote on
this,
the oral amendment first, okay. And then we can go to the second oral amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Would you allow me to have Commissioner Franz come up and just, you know, speak to it, make sure that they're fine with it, and also if Commissioner Fredrickson would come and just say a word about it.
Of course, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, in terms of making this language work for this appropriation, it does work. We agree. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman and members, I concur with Commissioner France. It does indeed work, and I thank you for your hard work. Apparently, you've taken a little bit from both bodies, and that's always a good thing, and everyone gets out the back door with their dignity intact. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Compromise is the word, I guess.
That's right.
So any problem with the voice vote?
No, Mr. Chairman, that's fine. Also, Mr. Chairman, I will withdraw my, I think I made a motion early on for a roll call. I will withdraw that,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. The motion passes. And would one of the senators like to make the oral amendment on the Senate side? If you recall, there was, a concern about some language dealing with line 2.15, May 8th, 2015. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I can read back what Senator Skoy was talking about, the oral amendment he wanted to make there, and fixing one of the words, too. So it would be on line 2.15, delete by May 8, 2015, and then insert before spending federal funds appropriated in this section.
Okay, is that clear to everyone?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions or comments about that? So I will move that change. And all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
So,
Representative Hamilton.
So, Mr. Chairman, I will renew my motion to move the Senate language starting on line 2.2, section 2, all the way through 2.21 as amended.
All right. Any further discussion about that motion?
Well,
Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, you know, and again, I don't know if Senator Skoy is totally going to be okay with this. He wasn't able to stick around, but he may have had some reasons for keeping the Senate language in Section 2 in terms of the year. We know that we're woefully inadequate anyway. We're talking about roughly $900,000 here, and so I'm going to support this amendment and or this. Basically agreement to get this bill moving. I know that we have a lot of other concerns with how are we going to address, fighting this virus and saving our turkeys. So that's just a comment. I think ultimately, the year may be problematic, but I think that there's still some time in the session to address all of the issues and the larger amount of money that we're still going to need to address this issue, even with the federal dollars. So with that, I will support the agreement.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator Dahl, and I share your concern for what's to come and the small number that we're passing here, although I think it's a good step, and I understand Representative Hamilton has promised us there's more to come, so we need to make sure we get that passed. This is an unprecedented crisis that our state faces, and we can't trivialize it or minimize it. It's something that we all need to pull together and work as best we can to make sure that we support the efforts going forward to bring this under control and help turkey farmers recover. Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank you for your leadership as well. And, Senator, thank you for your words. We are absolutely committed in the House, and I know you are as well in the Senate. And so I appreciate you agreeing to the oral amendment and the motion that we have before us. Thank you.
Okay. So without further ado, we did take the vote on the motion, didn't we?
No.
Okay, sorry.
So now it's the
yes, right, okay.
Amended,
all right. So. I don't want to get ahead of myself. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. I believe that's the extent of the work that we have to do in our conference committee, and thank you all for being here. Thanks for the commissioners and agency members for joining us and helping us through this difficult crisis. So we are adjourned.